All right, back for episode 9, Mistakes Were Made podcast. We're back again. How are you doing, Taylor? How's it going?
We're doing fantastic. I got a bone to pick with you, though.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go. Already? What's going on?
Yeah. We're going to go ahead. We're going to start it off. I'm not okay with game developers making games harder so that they can basically sell you cheats to get around it.
Okay. All right.
Mortal Kombat is purposely making their ladder impossible in certain spots to make you pay to get around it.
Okay, yeah, all right. If that's what you think, I'll let you believe that. But
I'm going to go with that. You haven't played the game yet. I'm looking forward to proving you wrong.
Yeah, you haven't played it either.
You're right.
That's insane.
All I need to know is trust Reddit whenever, you know, people that play Mortal Kombat on a competitive level are going, hey, the AI is just too good to actually beat.
You know, I'm going to save my comments until after I play it. When I played Mortal Kombat 10, it was pretty difficult. And there were times where I wanted to give up on fights. Not going to lie. But I just powered through it and I did it. And it was enjoyable at the end. So I'm looking forward to doing that again in Mortal Kombat 11. Just tearing my hair out. But we'll see. I mean, it's downloading as we speak. So
if you get stuck, I told you so. If you don't get stuck, then you're a dick.
Oh no, I'll tell you now. I'm gonna get stuck. Like that's what Mortal Kombat's about. It's gonna no matter who you are, even if you're a pro player, you're gonna get stuck. It doesn't matter. You know, there's gonna be times where you're gonna get into fights with the AI, and you're just gonna be pissed as hell. But you know what? It's just I just believe that it's just how it is with Mortal Kombat and, you know, fighting games in general. I mean, not many other fighting games do stories like the way Mortal Kombat does. A lot of them just kinda, I don't know, they're not as story driven and as intricate as Mortal Kombat does it. But I'm excited to play it, though. It just came out literally today, the day we're recording this. So there's a lot of hype behind it, a lot of the cool trailers, a lot of the music that they incorporated, a lot of the old different skins that they're coming out with, the older versions and the newer versions, and a ton of characters in the game. So it's exciting. I mean, the last time they made a Mortal Kombat, it was like around when the Xbox One came out, if I'm correct. When I think about it. So it's been a while. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I understand that certain games are hard, okay? Like, Dark Souls, totally get it, right?
Yeah. Well, Dark Souls is, like, a different beast. Like, that game is intentionally hard. And it's made so that, like, you have to do the right movements at precisely the right time. And if you don't, you're dead. You know, there's no forgiveness.
I mean,
in
the same can be argued with Mortal Kombat. You know, I'm not. You know, I'm not trying to bash it, man. Like, I'm not saying that hard games. You know, like I'm actually on your side here. Okay, mm-hmm. I really am. I'm on your side here because at the end of the day, man, we just want to play good games, right?
Oh, right. I mean, you know, but so often we're given games that are too easy and have these loot boxes and stuff. And now we actually have a game that's hard that people...
It's not even that it's either too hard or too easy. It's just I don't agree with monetizing progress.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, when they did it with Assassin's Creed and how you can get more XP. Yeah. So, like, no, I agree with you there. I mean, I don't think they should even allow it. But, you know, again, it's really the player's choice. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that in games, to be honest. I think you're going to see more of the developers doing that because there are people out there who are willing to pay for it. Unfortunately, as unfortunate as it might be, there are people who are willing to do that. You know, so,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is, I guess. I mean, we can't really, you know, stop them from doing it, you know. And the good thing, though, is that it's not directly affecting the gameplay itself. You know, it's not like, it's not directly affecting, like, you're not, it's not like a Battlefield situation, you know, where it's, you know, they hide things behind the, or like Destiny, where they hid something behind a paywall like that. It's not exactly like that. This can be actually earned in game. And they even go on to say that there's an in-game currency which you can buy to buy skins and whatnot that they'll put out there. There's no loot boxes, but you can buy specific skins if you want them. But you can earn that in-game currency in the game for just by playing. I'm sure, of course, you're probably not going to earn a ton of it at a time. So you can just buy some if you want. But it's not locked behind, you know, it's not as crazy as like Battlefield or Destiny was, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's, and like when it comes down to it, like buying skins, man, like the issue that I have with that is that a lot of companies are now monetizing old skins that are like, right, they're not really new or innovative or creative. Sure, there's a little bit of time that goes into it, but $10 right. for a different skin or $5 for a skin that existed 10 years ago and you're bringing it back now to try to make money off nostalgia, that's just not okay to me.
Well, I think it's, I mean, for a series that's been running for this long, it's kind of hard when you think about it. You know, I mean, I'm sure they can make new uniforms or new skins and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have, you're on your Mortal Kombat 11, there, that's 10 games of different skins and outfits and everything. And, you know, like I said, like the last world,
that into the base game, like to a certain extent, you know?
And they might. I'm not sure. You know, I haven't played it yet, so I'm not sure what's available to you. You know, off the start, or you know how that works, or you know. So we'll, you know, I'll play it. You know, like I'm getting it today. I'm downloading as we speak, and I'll play it, and I'll take a look at it, and I'll write down my notes, and we'll be talking on this topic again. I think in the future when we go through it, and I'm sure we'll definitely hear some more. You know, and you know, to be honest though, with a game like Mortal Kombat, with how big it is, I'm not surprised that there isn't something that people are mad about or complaining about. I'm not saying they're rightfully doing so. I'm just saying it's not surprising to me in this day and age that there isn't something wrong with the game, you know, which it's, I guess that's sad to say, but that's just kind of is now how it is nowadays. And comparing to the other games like Anthem and you know, like as we've seen, they've been pretty much just gotten, you know, blown apart. This is kind of like a minor thing, really, compared to something like that.
You know, and I agree. And I think outrage culture is taking way too strong of a twist. You know, and I'm realistic here, man. Like, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what, you want to play a good game, and you want to make right. sure that, if like, for example, if you're going for, like, there's some games that get the quality, the skill level nerfed all the way down to the point where it's like, well, we want to make it accessible.
Right.
But accessible doesn't equal fun, right?
Right, true.
And then you look at it and you're like, okay, well, then why don't you make it so that there's different levels required or different rewards at different levels? And then the problem yeah. is, like, for example, I'll give you a great example here, Destiny, right? Yep. So you talk about a raid system, right? Raids should always drop stronger equipment, at least for player versus, you know, everyone, PvE, right. than, I don't know, doing a strike.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, like 680, like let's say 700 light levels the max. Let's say 700 is what you can get if you do the raid. 690 is what you can get if you don't. There's your right. incentive right there. People aren't going to avoid doing hard content. There's a lot of people that want to do hard content. And the people that aren't going to do it are just not going to do it anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Right. I think, you know, with Mortal Kombat 2, I think when the, besides the ladder itself, I think one of the big reasons a lot of people get Mortal Kombat 2 is to play your friends and play people online, you know, really. I think multiplayer is really just where it shines and not so much the ladder. Because, honestly, I just want to, like, play my friends or play people online, just beat the shit out of them, you know. I just want to, like, just dominate them. That's just where the fun is, really, most of it. So I'm not...
You know, I'm going to very, very strongly consider not playing games with you ever again.
If you want to see me mad, fighting games are the only type of games where I will get legitimately mad at.
You know, when it comes down to it, man, like, I'm going to be honest with you. I was the guy that you used to throw grenades at in the middle of Blackout that used to get pissed off. And
yeah.
You do shit like that yeah. for no reason.
It's just, whatever.
You're the ultimate troll, and then you're just saying, you're like, I don't know why he's so mad.
Speaking of Blackout and Battle Royale, we'll just move to my next smooth transition there. We'll move into the next topic I want to talk about. I don't know if you saw, but on social media, both Marvel and Fortnite tweeted out a picture. I don't know if you saw it. The looks like Captain America might be coming to Fortnite. They said on April 25th, the day before Avengers Endgame comes out, there's going to be a Fortnite event. And the picture that they showed off was a character with an Captain America shield. In the past, they did the Thanos gauntlet, then they did the Infinity Blade. So people are thinking maybe it's going to be a Captain America shield you can throw around the map or something. That'd be pretty cool. I'm thinking that'd be awesome.
I think so. I think that'd be fantastic. I would love to throw a shield at people and hit them in the face.
That'd be amazing to be a Captain America just jumping around, throwing shield, and just knocking out. That'd be cool. So I'd love to see that. It's cool to see. Other than that, I can't really think of much else that's been going on, really, in terms of games-wise.
Fable 4. There's a company that everybody thinks is going to be developing Fable 4, and they're hiring people for it now, allegedly.
Oh, good.
Yep, I shot you a text with that yesterday. I was hoping you read that, but clearly you did not, and you avoided it.
So, what's going on there? So
all right. Give me 1 second here. Let me go ahead, and I'm going to pull up my text messages to you for the actual article. Okay.
So Fable 4, though, I mean, so do you know if it's going to be sometime soon, or you think
we'll hear about it? Well, no, it's not even in pre-production yet, so we're talking about 2 years out. But okay. It's something to look forward to, John.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, people have been crying. They've always wanted a new Fable. I mean, personally, I'm not going. I've never played the original Fables.
You're a terrible human being.
I know when the classics is the original Fable on Xbox. Well, on the original Xbox, if I'm right. But, like, you know, I've looked into the game and I've played the other ones before. You know, I haven't played through them all completely, but I know that they are legendary games.
So, Playground Games' previous works for their acquisition by Microsoft were the excellent racing titles of Forza and Horizon, right? Horizon, yeah. So, essentially, Xbox might be passing Fable over to them, is the alleged thing. Mainly because the head of recruitment of the British studio that they acquired says here that Nick Duncombe, head of recruitment at the British studio, has tweeted about the opening of several new roles. This includes mission designers, game designers, and combat designers. And the project is described as a AAA open-world action RPG project. So immediately people are thinking Fable.
Yeah. I mean, especially if it's one of Microsoft's things that they're transferring over, that screams Fable, you know, right there.
Now that I think about it, they really have missed Fable. Like, that was one of the big pitches for, like, an exclusive right there.
Could you imagine if E3, they announced that if they announced the new Xbox, then they say, hey, launch exclusive on the new Xbox is Halo Infinite and Fable 4. Like, boom. Like, that'd be a huge bomb to drop.
Yeah. Lucasfilm is contemplating a Knights of the Old Republic movie. That's apparently in gaming news as well. That's something totally not worth talking about. There's a Final Fantasy VII remake because it was the only good Final Fantasy. I'm just kidding. That was that's going to make some people really mad. And congratulations, there's the end of my career. But, when it comes down to gaming news, man, I mean, you know, there was an article released earlier this week comparing, you know, Xbox to PlayStation 5 or 4, sorry, which, by the way, it's not that far off in the U.S. at least. In the U.S., you have 26 million people playing on PlayStation, 24 million active people playing on Xbox, allegedly.
Well.
So it's not that big of a difference. It used to be. Yeah. Xbox 360 just smacked the hell out of them while playing PlayStation 3. But, you know, it's one of those deals, man, where, you know, I don't know. It's a weird situation.
So I have another cool, really good topic I want to bring up with you. As a former GameStop employee, I want to bring this up to you. Did you happen to hear about GameStop's new trade-in process that they're going to be doing?
No, fill me in on it. So let me preface this with GameStop is cancer, but go ahead.
So GameStop is going to be launching a program called Guaranteed to Love It, it's called. And what it is that if you buy a new game within 48 hours of the game's launch, you your full trade-in credit back. A $59.99 credit back, trading credit, if you don't like the game. So you buy a game, you play it for like, you play it the next day. You say, man, I really don't like this game. You can go back to GameStop, get full trade-in credit, pick a different game. You know, or just have that credit and just wait for the next, some other game.
I feel like there's a catch.
Not really. I mean, you know, they did say it's standard editions only. So if you buy that $100 edition, it's not going to count, stuff like that. So, you know, you don't get it. They said I'm shipping off some of the other special notes they have. You can't get pro points or whatever the hell their points thing is. You can't get points from it then. Employees are not eligible. That's something to mention. So if you're an employee, sorry. But I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, before, back in the day, when you bought a GameStop game, or just any game from GameStop, if you came back the next day, it was worth like a dollar. You know, it was horrible. It was literally a joke. And so this is kind of interesting to see that they're doing that. But I just don't know how, like you said, I feel like there's a loophole somewhere here that people are going to find out, or somebody's going to find out. So they're going to start with this thing with the game called Days Gone. That's going to be the first game on their list that's going to actually use the system. And then every game after that is going to have it. So Days Gone comes out on April 26th. So that's, I think, this Saturday. Is that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, or no, Friday. Sorry, that's Friday. So they said they're going to start with that game. I'm not sure if it's every game after the 26th or if it's specific games on the list or what it is. But again, I feel like we're going to see something, some kind of loophole. And, you know, someone's going to say something about it. You know, it just seems too good to be true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wanted to follow up on something real quick. Right.
Yeah.
So, Xbox One, or the new Xbox 2X. All right. The Xbox 2X, double L, don't even know what it's really going to be called. But so essentially it is confirmed that there will be a disc version, so you can actually, there will be a disc drive. So our entire argument from the previous podcast, completely irrelevant.
Well, I mean, they said there's going to be a disc drive, but it doesn't mean there's not going to be a discless option. You know, you think they might still come out with another version of it that's discless,
yeah, without a disc drive? Yeah, they probably will. But at the end of the day, you know, if you wanted a disc drive, you got it, Cap.
Yeah. See, I'm wondering if this whole GameStop thing, if does that only apply to games? I wonder if they did that with like consoles too. Could you imagine?
They won't do it with consoles, but. No. This is GameStop on their last legs. Looking for my opinion on GameStop, this company, I worked there for a year and a half. I had a fantastic manager. The people that were physically in my store were some of the greatest people I've met, and I still keep in touch with them to this day. I was in a store in Tennessee that is no longer open because they decided they wanted to have a bigger version of the store right down the street, you know. And that made sense because we were a small little mall store that was – I don't even know how to describe it, man. It was like the size of your living room.
Yeah.
It was a very small store. And we did, I think, the third or fourth most amount of business in the Knox County area. You know, considering our population size was less, everything like that, we had a lot of regulars. We had a lot of people that came in that we built good relationships with.
Yep.
I learned a lot about how certain corporate companies work in the U.S. And I'm not anti-corporations. I'm anti-corporations that do not provide proper incentives and rewards.
Yeah.
GameStop is that company. They are the epitome of, I'm going to work you to death and never give you what you're worth and never take care of you as an employee. And because of that, their reputation is in the ground and there's nothing they can do to fix it.
I think it's not just, you know, that employee, how they treat the employees, but also almost the customers too, really. I mean, you know, the way that they valued the trade-ins and everything.
Well, I mean, you have to keep in mind, too, they were the first to do it on a mass scale, and they gave you a value based on the game for what they could resell it for on supply and demand, right? So they'd give you $20, but they gave you that $20 and sold it at like $35, $40, not knowing how long it would take to sell that game. Because if it's a game like, for example, Destiny 2, that game dropped dramatically in price. Fallout 76 dropped dramatically in price the first week, right?
Right.
And people would take advantage of that because they're like, look, if you trade this in by this date, we'll give you $50 for it. Like the first week. If you don't like it after the first week, we'll give you $50 for it. So what they're doing right now is for 2 days, they'll give you. So as I was saying, you know, they'll give you full price for the game the 2 days after that. And that's great. But they already gave you like $49.99 for like a week or two afterwards. Yeah. I don't remember what the deal was with that. But they used to always have that on your receipt whenever you left after you pre-ordered a game and picked up your first day, right?
Right.
So, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't see GameStop changing their ways. They got rid of the circle of life, so to speak, which is their sales tactic for like, okay, well, you sell them the power-up rewards card. They buy the power-up rewards card. They trade in games. They get $5 more or whatever for trading credit, you know?
Right, right.
Then they give you their proprietary magazine that they produce themselves. You know, Game Informer is not exactly
reputable. They still make that?
Yeah, they still make it.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they don't do it in Australia anymore, though. They completely did away with it. But essentially, I didn't really care. Like, I cared for the games. I cared for the culture. I cared for the people I worked with. I didn't care for the company. And it's because they made it very clear that if you didn't make sales numbers, you didn't get hours.
Right.
And I made my sales numbers, and they wanted me to work more hours, but I didn't really feel like it because it wasn't really worth it. I mean, no matter what, I'm making the same amount per hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See that? There's no incentive. And, you know, to be honest, like you were saying, you know, GameStop is really the first ones that do it on the big scale like this. Like, yeah, I mean, even I'm just thinking around in my area, we had maybe a few different places you could buy video games, but primarily it's just GameStop. Like, that's it.
Yeah, like, and I mean, and if you look at the trade-in market, like those small companies, they tried to survive, but not enough people go into them because they're like, GameStop appeals to a broader audience, right? They carry a vast different amount of games. They're never going to run out of them. Usually they don't, unless it's a pre-order, like a trade-in game that, like, oh, there's only. They do a good job of moving their stock around. Like, if a game is selling really hot in one area but not in another, they will literally ship copies of that game between stores all the time.
I've heard people also going to Walmart to do it, too. I never even thought about going there.
Dude, Walmart's not set up to handle that kind of inventory as you exchange. They've already got so much inventory that they're dealing with. They can't. I mean, dude, you can go look right now. They're still selling Madden for $60 brand new there.
Yeah, you know, I think we can, you know, go on forever and talk about stuff like that, about, like, how the last
Best Buy recently has done it. Amazon's trying to get into it. Who's really surprised by that? Let's be honest here. You know, there's, you know, GameFly was big for a little bit for renting games. I tried that, actually.
Yeah, I tried that too.
And then there was one time where I held onto a game for way too long. And, you know, there are certain things that there are certain companies that are set up a certain way for an audience. Like, we feel like we're not getting a value for our game, but really, what are you going to do? Put it on Craigslist and sell it? Like, you don't want to put that much effort into it. That's why you go to GameStop to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, some people, I get that sometimes, like, they'll be like, oh, you're only giving me $2 for this game. But you got to understand, you might be copy 500,000 that they have in stock in all their stores. That's why they're offering you that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not giving you more than what the game is worth to them because they've had so many people trade it in. If it was a great game, the value is going to stay up for the most part. I mean, I'm not saying and I'm saying that too, like, older games get, the lower in demand they get. So the lower, you know, people are willing to pay, so the lower they're going to give to you so they can mark it up. And they've got to keep it in stock, and they've got to float that money to you. It's like a credit card.
Yep.
So, you know, and that's if you exchange it that day. There's a lot of people that don't exchange it that day. They trade their game in and they keep it on a card.
I can't even complain because I'm one of the guys that buys my games digitally, so I can't even complain about a lot of the GameStop stuff because here I am paying full price for a game that's digital.
And then you're never going to be able to trade it in.
Yeah, but again, you know, the other side of it is that I'll always have it regardless.
Agreed. So there's trade-offs, you know. That's the whole point of it, you know. You know, I get where GameStop is coming from, but the problem is that they really, really burned employees. Like, there was a situation – there's plenty of situations where they motivate you to sell pre-owned over new when people want new.
Yeah.
And there's people that are trying to hit their numbers, so they're going to be like, oh, well, you want a PlayStation 4? Okay. They go in the back and they just grab a used one. They don't even try to ask you if you want a new one. Like, they don't make it an option. Right. Where if they ask, they'll tell you, oh, it's not in stock, just so they can hit their sales quotas.
So, oh, no, yeah. I mean, you know, I had an experience where I went to a GameStop. I was looking for just an Xbox One controller, just looking to buy one. And I said, yeah, I'm looking just to buy a controller. The guy said, well, you can buy this one. It's new. It's about, like, I don't know, I think it was like $50 or whatever. Or we have this one here that's you know, a little used. That's only like $40 or $30, I think it was. And I was like, well, all right, I'll save $20. Like, sure, I'll buy the $30 one. It looked like it was in good shape. A week later, the thing stopped working. I mean, the trigger wasn't working. It was a piece of crap. So, but that's the trade-off you make. You do that. And I get that, you know, but, you know, they do try to – it's hard for the consumer when you see the price difference. Yeah. That to even make it kind of like,
well, the reasoning is that you don't want to put the effort in to sell it yourself.
Well, yeah, right. You know, but like, even just the price difference, you just see that and you're like, is it really worth paying $20 more for that new one when this could be potentially the same thing? You know, so you never really know. But
yeah, I mean, there's a risk to it. I mean, that's business.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, no, yeah, that's just essentially just business. Yeah,
but it's, you know, I don't like their circle of life. I know that they don't technically have it anymore, yeah. But it's still there. And there's still, like, you know, when it comes down to it, they have a hard job of retaining good employees. Good employees have a habit of making regulars happen. And, you know, when you're a company ran by numbers and purely numbers and you have no humanity in you whatsoever, and you have division managers that aren't passionate about games and don't care about it, and they're all business, like,
yeah,
you're going to sign up for those issues. So I don't feel bad for GameStop. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to stay afloat at this point. They've had like two or three different CEOs in the last year and a half.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, their stock is down to like $10 a share. You know, it's one of those deals where they've got a lot of issues they need to work out, and I wish them the best. I would not refer anybody to go there. I think Best Buy has a more rewarding program. And I think that a lot of game developers are going to be kind of pissed about that, honestly.
No, yeah. I mean, like, my brother has like a game or a Best Buy membership or whatever you call it, and they'll have, actually, like you said, they'll have like game, like, deals on new games, like, you know, you can get them for a discounted price or whatever. Yeah. And it's nice. So that's cool to see. I mean, you know, to be honest, I thought Best Buy was actually dying, but I feel like that they're coming back almost.
You know, it depends. I mean, if you look at retail in general is dying. So it's a rough situation when you have things like Amazon, and I'm not, you know, I think Amazon is the equivalent of monopoly. There's nothing that competes with Amazon.
Yeah, it's really hard to. I mean, I think you're seeing a lot of, you know, retailers like Target and everything. They're really trying to get that online presence and really trying to push that hard a lot.
Oh yeah, even my grocery store is having their own delivery service now.
Yeah, that's crazy too. I mean, you're starting to see stuff like that where, hey, just order your groceries online, someone will deliver it to you. Like, that's just how it is. It's how it's going. I mean, even in my area, you're starting to see malls dying, you know, so you don't have that traditional, you know, North American, I guess you call it mall culture anymore. That's kind of gone, you know, essentially. But, you know, I just want to get your quick opinion on this too. We were talking earlier about controllers. Have you ever owned a pair of Astros?
No, I have not.
Yes, I have, actually. I'm just kidding. Astro A40s. I do have a set of them right now.
Did you like them?
I like them. They're not bad. Yeah. They're okay. I mean, I overpaid for them for sure.
Well, I feel like Astro is like the top of the line quality when it comes to stuff like that. But they're dipping their hands into the controller market. I don't know if you've seen it, but they're coming out. PR gaming controller. It's essentially like, I guess the best thing you can compare it to that's pretty popular is called SCUF controller, or if you want to compare it to the Elite controller from Xbox or the PS4 Pro controller. It's kind of like that, where doesn't have paddles, I don't think. They're not paddles, but they're kind of like bumpers, like in the back, along with that you can customize. And on the front is this really kind of intricate layout of, like, you can move around the buttons along with the control sticks and the D-pads. So if you want to put your D-pad in the top left, control stick down, like both control sticks in the middle, or you want to move around, it's very customizable. It's very incredible. It's like a new pro controller that they're coming out with. But then again, you got to look at the price, $199. So it looks really nice. It's pretty up there in price, but I wanted to get your thought of these, like, kind of pro controllers, like, if you ever heard of a SCUF or the Elite controller or something like that. Do you really think they're kind of worth the price?
I think they're, you know? If you're looking, it depends. And it really depends on you as a person. Like, for me, yeah. I have an Elite controller. I don't mind them. I find them just very convenient. They make gameplay a little bit easier, having more options to be able to hotkey things and be able to, like, hit a button combination that, you know, would normally take me another half second to do, just because maybe I'm getting older. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, when it comes down to it, yeah, it's, you know, there are certain play styles, certain things that are totally worth it. Other things are totally not. It depends on you as a consumer. Like, I, you know, you'll never see a gaming tournament find them as acceptable. Right. A legitimate gaming tournament, at least. But, you know, for the most part, I don't see what the issue is with them. I think they're great.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a cool thing that you're seeing controllers even become more customizable. I mean, it's like, if you're a gamer and that you play, like, a ton, like, you know, you game a lot every week, sure. Making the investment into a good chair, you know? Like, if you're gaming on, like, just a stool, you know, it's saving you in the long run.
I absolutely agree, man.
Have you ever seen, I've always looked into those Herman Miller chairs. Have you ever seen those?
They're okay. I haven't seen them. I mean, I've seen them. I don't know.
They're expensive as hell, but they look extremely comfortable, and I've heard amazing things. They last, like, forever. But that's like a wish list kind of thing. I would never spend that much money. It's like thousands of dollars on chairs. So
yeah, that's a little bit much. I saw a Batman chair the other day that I sent to my Facebook friends, and I think it was unanimously approved as something I should have.
Is it like a Batman office chair, or is it like just
it's like a Batman gaming chair.
Oh, really? Wow.
Dude, fantastic. Cool. It's on my Facebook if you ever want to check it out. But it's the coolest thing ever. I feel like it would be perfect in my Batcave that doesn't exist, but I wish I had it.
I think, dude, that's my dream, is to have, like, a gaming Batcave like that. I think that'd be sick. That'd be awesome.
That is going to happen in my house.
That's on my list. My next thing I want to invest in is a good chair. I have a decent office chair now, but I would definitely love to get a new chair. For sure. Okay. Well, I can. I'm trying to think what else is happening around the game world,
you know,
right now.
It's a slow gaming news day. I mean, people are being upset about apparently gay references or something like that. And
yeah.
Division 2. Basically, people are just bored and they have nothing better to do than really, really appreciate art for its lack of expression, I guess is the best way to go. So,
I think Division's going to continue to be just like a game where it's going to have its ups and downs.
I think it's fine. I think some people, you know, like when we were talking about challenging and hard mode earlier and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there are some clear cases where the AI definitely is a bit overpowered. You know what I mean?
Right. No. Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean.
And like that, you know, challenging to me was a clear case of like, okay, yeah, that's challenging, but there's a difference between beating your head against the wall and it being damn near impossible.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't having have to get lucky from respawn to respawn.
You shouldn't have to just like run a block away from an enemy just so you can kill them, you know? Like that's a little intense.
You have to run into different rooms and like retreating and killing things and then running through it all again just to get another wave of fights the same way. It's just
be
a bit much. And like the AIs are super aggressive.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm okay with them being aggressive, but you gotta have them like, if I'm shooting him and I put like a bleed effect on him, have him run for cover. You know, like have something built in to make them want to get cover, because being a bullet sponge is not okay.
Right. I mean, this game is meant to be a cover-based shooter. You should be able to utilize that, and so should the enemies, you know? I mean, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. When the enemy's not utilizing it and they're rushing you and they're just saying, hey, here's my balls in your face, that's kind of rude.
Exactly.
So.
Not as much as Destiny. Well, it's going to have many times where enemies are going to be in balance, guns are going to be in balance, gear is going to be in balance. It's going to happen. But the important take action against it. And so far, Ubisoft's been they've been pretty good with Division. They do scheduled maintenance every week. They're pretty.
Yeah. I mean, they made their game accessible.
Yeah, you know.
And I mean that in a sense of, like, for developers to actually fix things.
Yeah, and then that's the important part. Compared to when, you know, as much as I love Destiny, you know, they had maintenance on there, but it was like, all right, we're going to release this patch. They literally would tell you months in advance, we're going to release this patch 3 months from now. That will fix this list of issues. And you're looking at that thinking, well, why don't you just fix it now? Why do we have to wait 3 months? You know?
It really comes down to game engine for that, because, well, whatever your dev kit is, I mean, it depends on how well you make it accessible. Halo 4 was the same way. Halo 5 was a little bit better once they figured out how to use the engine. And obviously with Infinite, it's going to be a new proprietary system that they built from the ground up, and apparently it's going to be a $1 billion game. So I would assume they made it so that they were like, because like they built off of Bungie's engine, where they were sitting there going, you know, this is good, this is good, this is good, but like we really wish we could have a tool for this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes back to, they want to build an engine that has longevity as well as makes it easier for them to do what they need to do in shorter periods of time. Like when you have to sit there and release and make custom game modes, and you can't. Like the custom settings are just not there.
Yeah.
Like that sucks.
Yeah.
And like that was the issue that Halo had, but that's how complicated it was to add that system. If they didn't add it from the get-go, then they were screwed, you know?
Are you saying like basically when like, for example, an older game has a feature that the newer one doesn't have, that it's not nearly that simple just to transfer it over?
How do I explain this? So the people at Bungie and the people at 343, while there were a few people that stayed, they had different development methodologies, right?
Right.
So Bungie built their game around customizing, whereas 343 built their game to mimic Halo. So they didn't build it the same way that Bungie did. They didn't build it with the same toolkit, in a sense, right? Maybe they updated something, but they didn't upgrade certain toolkits. So, like, you have to think of an engine like this, okay? An engine runs everything, right?
Right.
And there are certain sections for sound, certain sections for graphics, certain sections for, you know, and each thing has its own little separate kit, unless it's Frostbite, which apparently is everything ground up, coding everything brand new. You know, like, they're essentially... Sorry, my dog is jumping on me right now. It's adorable. But But essentially, every section is broken down for developers who are assigned specific tasks to be able to use those tools to build the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever those tools are like outdated, for example,
right,
that makes it harder. It makes it way harder.
Makes sense. So like, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, let's say one section of the game got updated tools, the other section of the engine did not. Well, okay, we need to update custom game settings. Well, whatever it was that made game settings never got updated because they just copy and pasted whatever Bungie did, but the graphics engine got updated. Wait, that creates problems if we do it on, you know, if we mess with the custom settings, right?
Right.
Because it wasn't all created at one time. It wasn't all made to work together per se, right? You hear a lot about that with the Frostbite engine, with BioWare, for example. They are constantly saying that it's a struggle to use that engine. And the reason why it's a struggle to use that engine is because the dev toolkit is made for first-person shooters. It's not made for a game like Anthem.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, and that's you know, on the flip side of that, there is such thing as too accessible and kind of lazy, and that would be what Bethesda does. If you notice, all their games have the same art style, the same exact systems, almost to the T. And really, when it comes down to it, they're just copy and pasting all that shit. That's why they can build an entire world in a year or two.
Well, I mean, I think it definitely showed in the new Fallout. I mean,
yeah. And a lot of, and you know, it's the same engine because they had a lot of the same glitches Morrowind had.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, and there's your catch-22. So, like, build, you know, and it's expensive to build a new engine, right?
Right.
So, ideally, what they want to do is update the crap out of it until it just is not, until it's just not feasible to use anymore. So, you're seeing that with Bethesda. They're like, okay, finally, we're going to start doing some engine updates. Like, cool. 5 years from now. And then, you know, the Slipspace engine's why it's taking so long for Halo to come out, because guess what? It's a ground up build now.
Is it really called the Slipspace?
Like you did with Bungie.
Is it called the Slipspace engine?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great name. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's their own, they built off of what Bungie had in a way, but it's their own proprietary system. Like, they're like, okay, we're keeping what we like. And that's what most game engines are. It's kind of like, it's like being a writer. You take certain elements of other writers, right? You don't take their stories, but you take like certain elements on how they write and how they deliver certain things, and you kind of make it your own, and you put your own little twist on it, right? Let's think of that with engines, right?
Yeah.
So that's essentially the same setup, but
it makes sense. I mean, I'm excited though for. I mean, as much as we just talked about the engine and stuff, you know, I'm excited for the next Elder Scrolls game. Not gonna lie, But all we saw was like a 5 second trailer of the, not even, I don't think, of like the title screen, and people, the amount of like conspiracies that came out of that, the amount of hype that came out of that was insane.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and then we might be in a slow time period with gaming. There's going to be little things that pop up here and there.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, man, like, we're going to get just enough, and E3's coming up. And that's what I'm really excited about, because that is going to be a buttload of content for us to talk about, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, me too. It'll be really fun.
Well, I think we're getting close to that time. So if you got nothing else to say, I think we're about wrapping it up here. I think we're good. All right. Well, you heard it here, 9th episode. Not as long as our other ones have been, but you know what it is, but it is a little bit of a slow week. So go ahead.
Slow news week, and we don't like to talk about weird stuff that really is unconfirmable. I mean,
we can ramble on forever, and maybe sometimes we will, and we probably already have. But in the meantime, go follow us over at MWM Games Podcast. Lane, do you even remember your Twitter handle? Do you even know what it is?
Hold on, I can look it up.
In the meantime, go back from the dead. go follow me over at JSCHIFT, J Shift. I'm over there. And MWM Games Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. You follow us there. We're also on all platforms
for podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know, Google Podcasts, you know, anywhere you can think of, we're there.
I got you. So yeah. GameSpot, apparently they said that the PlayStation 4 has an optical hard drive.
Okay.
Doesn't exist.
Well, that's good. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I think E3 will hear more. So,
absolutely.
But all right, guys. See you guys later.